This is the I Read Comic Books podcast. We are back after four wonderful, sweaty, hot, awful weeks in the summer. We had four minisodes that premiered. They were all amazing. If you haven't listened to them, please go back and listen to those previous four little 30-minute episodes about various different topics from two of our regular guests. I was not on any of those, so I had the fantastic pleasure of listening to minisodes that didn't have my voice. But with me today are two fantastic human beings, Kate Scotchless.
Hello.
And Nick White.
Hey.
Thank you guys for joining me. Today is July 17, 2016. Before we get the show going, I want to apologize. You may hear some fans in the background. It's terribly hot in New York City where I'm at, and I'm pretty sure it's very, very hot in Michigan where Nick and Kate are. So I want to apologize for that if you hear any background noise. But now we can get the show started. So Nick and Kate, how have your weeks been? How have comic books been? It's been so long since I actually talked to you. What's up?
Well, I guess you could say, in the immortal words of the bard Nickelback, it's been a while, and
yes, it has.
You know, I've gotten a lot of reading done, so much that none of it immediately comes to mind right off the bat.
Right.
But there was
I'm the exact
there
same
was
way.
A lot of reading, and you know, sometimes I would missed a podcast, so I would just wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night and grab my microphone and just, you know, huddle with it for warmth and, you know, record my own shows. They'll be available real soon. Coming to a podcast service near you, so just
coming
just
soon
look for
to
that.
Your dumpster.
www.ircb.us/ these aren't real.
Yeah, I'm gonna make that URL. So
.xxx.
Kate, how have you been? What's been up with you?
Good. I think since last time I've been on or we've been talking, Rebirth happened.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So there's been that. Less exciting than I had hoped, but you know, such is life. I've been really enjoying the Civil War 2 miniseries out the summer, the event.
Mm-hmm.
And then been doing a lot of reading from the library. Woo,
gotcha.
Fiscal responsibility.
I mean, speaking of things that we've all been reading, actually, let's actually talk about what we've been reading. Just a handful of things. I know that I can personally say that I read a lot. Like, I read, you know, the Flash Rebirth stuff, numbers 1 and 2, Deadpool and Gambit, numbers 1 and 2, Han Solo, Batman, all numbers 1 and 2. I read this weird thing called 1999 by Noah Van Scrivener, and it's the most sad, awful thing in the entire world, and kind of reminds me of the other book that I read by Noah Van Scrivener called Fontaine Bukowski, I believe. It's really just terrible, sad stuff. It's really good, but very, very sad.
So Prince was lying when he said we're gonna party like it's 1999.
Yeah,
you're saying there's no reason to be doing that.
Well, for this one particular man in the story 1999, yes, it's just terrible, terrible, sad things that happened to this person. Just unfortunate, real-life sadness, which is the most depressing kind of sadness in a comic book, as far as I'm concerned. Other than that, I read the one last thing I read a Comixology Submit book, keeping on my reading a bunch of Comixology Submit stuff. It's called Black and Blue, written and drawn by a man named Jason Clark, and it's a weird noir. Everybody dies, and the art's really dark and brutish, so you know, if that's your thing, if you like noir books, maybe you'd be interested. But it's three issues in now, but I have only read number one. But Nick, what have you been reading?
Well, I would say probably the biggest thing for me was that I actually managed to locate Dr. Fate and Constantine number 10. They disappeared in the despite the not so methodical organizational system that I have, and then I just couldn't find him, and next thing I know, I'm sitting on Dr. Fate all the way up to 13, and Constantine all the way up to 13, and just like, I can't read these, but then I finally located them, and I really actually enjoyed Dr. Fate a lot more than I thought I would. I think it's actually supposed to survive Rebirth, the Rebirth transition, whereas Constantine ended. Definitely sad to see that go. Excited to see where it goes now. And it was a real treat to actually see Travel Foreman drawing again, because those opportunities are few and far between. He drew the fourth and third to last issue of the series, so that was good. I got around to picking up Outcast Volume 3. Not much to say there other than that, you know, Robert Kirkman knows how to pace a book. He also knows clearly how to write a book that, you know, is going to go straight to TV. That it's like it's already like packaged with a bow on top. It's obviously.
And has it been optioned?
I mean, that book was, I think I'm right when I say that book was actually optioned and signed and agreed upon with Showtime before issue one even hit stands. Well before issue one even hit stands.
Yeah, I can say that the first five episodes are out as of this recording. I think the sixth episode of the show comes out, and I believe they're looking at an 8-12 episode first season. And I
are
believe
you confusing
that covers
Preacher with
no I've been watching Outcast.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, I guess it's yeah. That much under the radar then. Jeez, yeah,
it's been out, and yeah, it's been coming out alongside of Preacher, so it's kind of confusing, like to see these two dark, gritty shows, one Preacher on AMC and Outcast on Showtime, kind of competing with for like the same time slot. So that's been really interesting. But I believe the first season will cover all of volume one, maybe a little bit of volume two. I'm not quite certain yet. So yeah, that is out, just to clarify.
Okay. Huh. No, that book, all I got to say is Kirkman knows that he could probably just write some absolute crap for like 13 arcs before anyone would be able to pull the plug on him, even like you know what I mean, like he's
well,
sort of got that.
Actually, I disagree with that, because he kind of did that with that book Haunt that he did, and I know he turned over the reins to someone else. I believe it was Andy Diggle, and the book got canceled after like 13 issues, so I don't know if that's true. I think he does put a little bit of work into his actual work.
Oh no, and I'm not saying it's a bad book, but when you look at sort of his pacing and his plotting, it's slow in such a way that you wonder if other writers would be able to pull that off and, you know, have that without having that clout behind them. So
right.
Beyond that, read Martian Manhunter Volume 1 today. That book was absolutely splendid. I know it's a little bit front-loaded for people that are worried about really having a book that's super confusing at the beginning and not really knowing where things are going and having all of these characters that you're really not that familiar with. But that book by Rob Williams and Eddie Barrows was a real treat. Mr. Biscuits is the absolute, one of my favorite new characters ever. So funny. I love when they're introducing all of them, and it's like, Mr. Biscuits, I think it says 66% of the way through Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 on the intro page for like issue 5, and I was like, what is this book? The only other one I would say that I sort of got into, not because it was a great book, but because it was a real interesting read, was I picked up the Humble Bundle for Star Trek, and I read the first volume of the series that is based on the characters from the films. But what's really, really weird about it is that in this book, they are using the sort of the new aesthetic, the new characters, the new look of things. But in some of the issues, they're actually retelling stories from the original, like, 68 TV run. Like, they're retelling them with the new format and changing or updating little things or tweaking things to make it a little bit more less goofy. Because I was reading the first issue and I was like, I've actually, like, I know this story. Like, why do I know exactly what's happening in this story? Like, I've never read this book before. And then, of course, it turned into like a paycheck-esque moment. Really bizarre. I mean, it sort of brought me back to that discussion we had about, you know, what do we think about like retelling stories with like new art or new aesthetics? And I was like, this is kind of a little bit of that.
It's interesting,
but bizarre. Yeah. What a weird approach.
For gotcha. A book. Yeah. Well, I can't. I'm not. I don't read Star Trek. I'm not a big fan of Star Trek. I wish I could say more, but it's really interesting that you've been able to find almost a good example of that retelling in a different, like, with more modern art or more modern storytelling, I guess, concepts for a book that exists. So I guess we might have to revisit that topic and maybe reread Star Trek and like see the original and then read the book to see how those two compare, if that's even close to the kind of discussion we were talking about before with the big debate.
Wait, so Are you saying that they're redoing old comic issues? Because that's what we were talking about. Or are you saying they're doing old TV episodes? Because that's just an adaptation at that point.
Right. So it's not... It's
okay,
not,
that's true.
In a way, it's sort of, yeah, it's an adaptation. They've taken stories that were actual... They've taken... They say they're adapting the screenplays that were eventually turned into TV episodes. But they're also not only using the modern aesthetics and the modern look of the characters from the films and whatnot, but they're also adjusting and moderately tweaking certain, you know, creature or alien designs or moving characters around that weren't quite in certain places to, I don't know, adjust things to however exactly they want. So it's a little loose in some aspects, I guess.
Okay.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I'm sure the Trekkers or Trekkies would tell me that I'm completely wrong. I actually don't mind the modern films, so I'm probably already persona non grata for all of those people.
So. Gotcha. So, Kate, what have you been reading?
This past week, I read Civil War II, number 2 and 3, and I'm still loving that. It's great. The art and coloring especially are fantastic. I read Black Widow number 4 and Vision number 9, both of which were amazing as usual. And then Wonder Woman number 2, and this is of the Rebirth series, and this is where I'm going to leave it.
Really?
I was hanging on until Nicola Scott got there because I thought maybe her art could save it for me, but if it was $1 $3 book to invest in per month, I'd be like, okay, it's worth it. I'll stick around. But when you're talking about $6 a month, it's just not doing it for me. And especially knowing with a DC book like this, it will come to my local library once it comes to trade. And so it becomes this cost benefit analysis where I'm just like, nope, I'm just going to get it from the library at this point. I don't need to be with this book every step of the way.
Interesting.
Which I definitely did not expect. This was the book I was most looking forward to with New 52, probably that or the Tom King Batman. But I love Greg Rucka usually, and his writing, it's not bad. It's just very retreading the same stories, you know? And I got pretty put off with the Rebirth issue, the first one where it's like, remember all that Wonder Woman stuff from the last few years that you super loved? It was all a bad dream. And you're like, wait, what?
Oh,
no.
No.
And so. Yeah, and so then, and then now with the year, it's every other issue is year one, and year one is just a retelling of the same origins with him crashing on the island and Diana finding him and saving him and all that stuff. So,
and this is Steve Trevor, you mean?
Yeah,
crashing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
I only know about two modicums of information about Wonder Woman, and I know that one of them is that Steve Trevor crashed into the island,
yep.
Or Paradise Island or whatever.
Yeah, so all the Wonder Woman that I've read and really liked was all the stuff where she was, you know, the whole Greek pantheon stuff, where and then she takes on the mantle of war and all that stuff, and that's what they really scrapped, it seems like, with the Rebirth, and are going back to the older origin stuff, the usual, if you will, and that's not stuff that's ever really interested me much in the past. Maybe it'll be wonderful. Maybe I'll pick up the volume at the library and go, oh my god, I wish I had been getting this all along because I really want this in my collection. That's certainly happened in the past. That's me right now with Vision, where I got the first like 3 or 4 issues in digital, and now I'm like, oh my god, I wish I had this in singles the whole way so that I could have it to love and hold and hug forever and ever.
Right, right.
But yeah, so that's, I officially have dropped it from my pull list at my shop and everything.
Gotcha. Well, you know, before we go into, you know, what we're looking forward to this week, I actually kind of want to talk about Rebirth for a quick minute. And
okay.
I do mean quick minute, if only because I think between the three of us, as well as the, you know, other regular guests that we have on the show, we've all touched Rebirth in some way. We've tried something that we normally wouldn't read, or we're jumping into Rebirth, you know, full-fledged to say, I'm ready to do this. I want to see what stories are available. And so far, how have you guys, I mean, I guess Nick and Kate, how have you two, like, felt about this? Have you read anything other than, like, you know, I've been reading Batman. I think everyone's maybe reading Batman, if only because I missed out so badly on Scott Snyder's run that I'm like, I can't miss this one. This is Tom King. This is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
But have either of you tried anything else other than, like, maybe something like that?
I've been reading the Tom King Batman, although I think I'm on issue behind, so no spoilers, Nick.
I think I'm further behind than you, so.
Oh, okay. And then I read the main, like, the very first Rebirth issue that was for the whole universe, and I think Justice League I've been keeping up with. I guess my first response with that very first, you know, universe-wide Rebirth issue was like, the white guys are back! Yeah. And that was kind of a put-off, like, why are
Don't
you
Don't worry,
doing
we didn't
this?
Forget you.
So, that was the initial, like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, guys, what are we doing here? And then, yeah, I've been underwhelmed with the other ones. Of them, I think the Tom King Batman is doing the best. But then again, I haven't read, like, any of the other ones that people are talking a lot about, like Green Arrow and Flash and stuff, so.
Yeah, I've read the Flash. I mean, I read Batman, but I'm also reading the Flash because Carmine D. I'm going to butcher his name. So the artist on The Flash is also the same artist who did All New X-Factor with J. Michael Straczynski, or Peter David, I'm sorry, a while back. So I was like, okay, I got to try this. It's Joshua Williamson and this guy and these two. It's got to be pretty good. And I realized reading number two last night that it kind of feels really clunky. Like the whole, either this is how Flash books read, because I've never read a Flash book before.
Yeah,
where they're just
either.
Like, Barry Allen, you're a scientist, but also a CSI.
But also.
And also the Flash, how do you balance it? Oh, what Iris is a reporter? Oh, Wally West. It's like, okay, number one felt really good, and it was really built really, really well. And then number two just like flatlined for me. And I want to try this series to, you know, the end of the arc. But man, number two was so clunky. And it was just like, hey, Wally, Barry, what are you doing? This is insane. How do you run so fast, Barry? And like, no joke, it's, I don't want to spoil the book. You really should read it. But that's like one of the scenes in the book is this another character going, Barry, how do you handle all of these responsibilities? And
can you please do the entire episode in that voice?
Yes.
Please.
It sounds like there's going to be Mike's going to reenact the issue for us.
So I'm worried that this is how other books are, but I heard that Green Arrow, I believe, was like super duper good. So I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence right now about these. Like I'm really, really hesitant to try another Rebirth book because if these, like even, I don't know, Batman was good, even though there was a bunch of really sad stuff and I was like, what's happening with you Bruce? But so far all these books feel really clunky to me. Like they don't know how to start Rebirth, but there's a good promise for the future, maybe. I don't know. Nick, have you felt the same way with what you've read so far?
Well, I'm a little bit behind. I just picked up my comics after 3 weeks, so I haven't gotten my hands on quite everything. But obviously, I did read the Rebirth introduction, and I did read the Rebirth number ones for both Batman and Green Arrow, because those are the books I prefer. Rich, non-powered white men are usually that's a category I'm interested in. It's a category I'd like to be in one day. anyway, that aside, Green Arrow, I've actually really enjoyed it, which is saying something because, you know, after Jeff Lemire left and then the TV team came on and I was like, oh boy. And then I read a few of the issues that came after them, and that was Ben Percy. I'm about 90% certain on this, which is really interesting because Ben Percy is one of the only writers who was writing a book pre-Rebirth, and then Rebirth happened, and they actually managed to somehow stick around, which was curious. And I think it's probably because he showed up just so soon before Rebirth happened. And I've actually really enjoyed the book. Obviously, it's about him, and they're trying to get him back with Black Canary, which is really neat because they sort of acknowledge Black Canary's rock band, you know, punk rock history from the Black Canary book. Mm-hmm. Who was that? Was that Cameron Becky. Fletcher? Brent, or the guy from Batgirl, Brendan Fletcher.
And Annie Wu.
And Annie Wu drawing. And I thoroughly enjoyed that book. So to have that character sort of find another place, I love it. The art's been good so far by Otto Schmidt, but I'm still waiting for Juan Ferreira to actually take over the reins on art when it's his turn. But I've been pleasantly surprised with that book. Nothing crazy, but the art's been good. and the story's been all right. And of course, Batman, I read the Rebirth issue. Calendar Man, I love anytime you have goofy, weird, stupid villains that are thrown into the mix. And then they do like sort of a weird twist on him, because I remember him sort of having like a mania about just an obsession with the calendar and sort of basing and staging crimes around it. But I don't remember there being anything about him, I guess minor spoilers, being able to actually, he like ages and then is reborn with the calendar himself. Yeah. And I was like, that was new to me. That was completely new to me.
Dude, I thought that was so cool. That was way cool to me.
Yeah, yeah. So and Mikael Janine's art, I absolutely love it. I'll you know, twiddle my thumbs through this run of David Fitch, but you know, I'm waiting for Mikael Janine's art again. Him and his sexy Batman. It seems like whether he's drawing Grayson or whether he's drawing Batman, there's always an excuse for someone to get shirtless within the first 5 pages.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I just wanted to get, you know, your kind of feelings about this, and I think we'll be talking about more Rebirth as things start to come out. So anyways, let's move on to what we're excited for this upcoming week. So Kate, let's kick it back to you.
Okay, so I am most excited this week for Black Hammer number one. It's the new Jeff. Okay, I say it Lemire, Nick says it Lemire, so I don't know.
I only say it that way out of pure pressure now. Believe me, Kate, I would be right there with you, but okay. I've been just bludgeoned into submission over this.
So, however you correctly pronounce that,
Fialkoff is how you say it.
And then the art is Dean Ormston, who did The Sandman, and Dave Stewart, who was on Hellboy. It's from publisher Dark Horse, and I first, my ears perked up when I saw promos by Scott Snyder about it, calling it one of Lemire's best creations, and I'm like, cool. And then I read the preview pages, which Dark Horse, God bless them, has the best preview set up on their website. Mm-hmm. And it looks really cool. It's about superheroes that were banished from existence by a multiversal crisis kind of thing, and are stuck in a timeless farming town where nothing changes, and are trying to find their way home, but of course things go wrong and all that stuff. And so it's a superhero mystery that it looks awesome.
I've seen the previews. It looks beautiful.
Yeah, I am really excited for this.
Yeah, I am super, super pumped for this book. You know, not to be that guy, I guess I'm still going to be that guy. I've actually had this book pulled at my local comic store for about the past like year and a half now.
Holy crap.
Well, it's,
wait,
it's
when was actually, it announced?
Well, it got it delayed though. Yeah.
It got delayed cuz the artist had a stroke.
Holy crap.
Oh jeez.
Yeah. That's why
that's a legit
it
reason.
For so long. Like the book was on hold for a real long time. But if unless I'm completely wrong, it's still the same guy drawing it. So I mean,
wow,
kudos to
him.
Jeez, yeah. No,
Wowzer.
The book looks great, and Stewart colors. You can never go wrong with Stewart colors.
Yeah,
period.
I feel like with colorists, we've got like a top tier of people that we know are going to be fantastic, and it's like Dave Stewart, Matt Wilson. I'm saying that for Tia's benefit. Yeah. Jordi Belair and Matt Hollingsworth. Like those are the top four people that I can think of. When I see their names on colors,
nope,
I'm
it's
like
automatically good. Yeah,
exactly.
Elizabeth
Brettweiser. Yeah, I forget. Well, she's only on two books, but those two books are fantastic. So yeah, we've got top five right there, and like you know that those books are going to be colored beautifully. Like the interiors are going to be undeniably gorgeous, not just in pencils, but just in color choice. Like, I love that. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy that we are in that with comics. But anyways, I'll get off my little soapbox here. Nick, what are you excited for this upcoming week?
Well, actually, my pick was going to be Black Hammer, but then that was just, you know, swept out from under me. and so I'm going to plug something else. Archer and Armstrong, number 5. Mainly because this book, for the first arc, has sort of had me teetering towards, and I know people are going to be like, we know you're never going to quit the book, Nick, don't say that, all right? I won't say that. I'll be honest with you. It had me teetering towards switching this book over to trade. I know, big words, jeez. But, like, the cartoony art of Lafuente just wasn't doing any favors for me. I wasn't really loving it. But we're actually going to get an artist switch over to Mike Norton, who is perhaps best known for drawing Revival. Yeah.
Woo!
And Battle Pug, or writing slash drawing Battle Pug.
Yeah.
And we're going to have this issue 5 is sort of going to be standalone, even though Norton will be staying on after, I don't know for how long, knowing Valiant, probably the arc. And it's going to be the big date between Archer and Faith. And gosh, I just saw the preview today, and it's so cute. The issue, I don't know if it begins or if it's sort of the snippet I saw with them sort of having like a text message conversation back and forth as you see both of them like getting ready for the date. And it's super funny. It looks fantastic. You know, she's of course obsessed with like pop culture, so she's been sending him like movie recommendations, because according to him, like the only thing he was allowed to watch was like the Left Behind movies when he was growing up.
Well, that's so sad.
So she's like, you know, what did you think about what I recommended? And she's like, what was your favorite? And he's like, well, you know, probably The Matrix, just because it's a little close to life. She's like, all right, what was the worst? And he's like, I liked them all. She's like, no, you had to have one you didn't like. And he's like, Back to the Future. She's like, why? He's like, that's not how time travel works. That's not. He's like, I would know. Time travel doesn't work like that.
Oh, man.
And then she actually name drops the Guy Pearce version of the time machine, which will be the only time the Guy Pearce version of the time machine ever occurs in print ever again. So really excited, really delighted, super pumped for this issue.
Is this the one that's listed as A and A?
Correct. It's now okay. Archer and Armstrong got retitled to A&A. Yeah.
But the diehard fans still call it Archer and
Armstrong.
Right.
I just wanted to make sure I had the right thing.
Just
because
we're
head.
Worried whenever we call it A&A, people are like, what? And then they're like, what do you mean? And then you're like, Archer and Armstrong. And they're like, well, why didn't you say that? And then I'm like, because that's not what it's called. And that's why I don't have that conversation anymore.
Yeah. Understandable. Well, for me this week, I've got a pretty big pull, but the book that I'm looking forward to the most is Hellblazer Rebirth number 1, and if only because I was so hyped up after Constantine the Hellblazer that I'm really, really excited just to read more Hellblazer without going back and reading, you know, the 250-ish run.
I was going to say, there's like 300 issues for you out there.
The 13 massive trades. Yeah.
So outside of doing that, I'm excited for new Constantine stories. And with Simon Oliver and Moritat on this little special one-shot, it's going to probably be a lot of fun. And more importantly, it's going to be absolutely beautiful. Moritat's art is unparalleled out there as far as I'm concerned. And I don't really know much about Simon Oliver, but I'm really hoping that this is a good connection from Constantine the Hellblazer to the new Rebirth series, because it felt like the end of Constantine the Hellblazer was just a natural ending, and so anything could have happened. So the transition between these two books could be very easy if done well enough in this single issue. So fingers crossed. I'm absolutely digging the cover. If you haven't seen the cover, It's really beautiful. It's Constantine smoking a cigarette, and that's the coolest thing in the entire world. Smoking isn't cool, but when Constantine does it, it's really cool. So,
I mean, the only way to find out is if you try smoking yourself. That's so, for those of you out there who are wondering if smoking's for you,
don't.
There's
don't
only
do
one
it.
Way to know.
Don't do it. So, Nick, you've read more DC than me, and maybe Kate, you know this as well. Have you guys read anything from Simon Oliver before?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't think he's actually done much work for DC, and you know, I'm probably completely wrong on this, but I thought I heard that he's British, and he actually has some Judge Dredd, a background with Judge Dredd, actually.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm taking a chance, so you know, I'm ready to have this be either fantastic or absolutely abysmal.
I don't want to stereotype, but there's nothing wrong with having a Brit on Constantine.
That's true. That's
fine.
Totally true.
According to Wikipedia, his most recent thing is Last Gang in Town. Did any of you guys read that?
That was like Boomer Image, I think.
I think it was Image.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that I had. So, you know, maybe.
I don't see any Judge Dredd on here, on his list of stuff.
Sure. Well, at least he's been working, right? It's not like, you know, he's been plucked from plucked from oblivion.
Right. This will be fun.
Yeah, no, he did a bunch of the FBP stuff and the Exterminators for Vertigo.
Oh. FBP, that's the Federal
Bureau of Pure Physics.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I heard that book was amazing. Okay, cool. Then I'm not worried. I'm not worried. This will be a good book. fingers crossed, this will be a really good book.
Good, now that we have Mike saying that, let's Xander, hold on to that audio snippet. We're going to keep that one.
For longtime listeners of the show, you may recall episode 52, where Kate, Nick, and I sat down and talked about our New Year's resolutions for comics this year, and we set some very, I think, attainable goals between the three of us about things that we wanted to read. So, since it's just past the, you know, the halfway mark of the year, we figured since the three of us were on this week's episode, we should talk about how we're doing so far with those New Year's resolutions, whether we've completely achieve them, or if we've totally flubbed on them. I can already say that I've flubbed on mine. So let me give you just a recap about what we had said in episode 52. For Kate, she said that she wanted to read 52 trade paperbacks and graphic novels for the whole year, and she's already done it, and that's awesome, as well as read more classic comic books. For myself, I was supposed to read the New 52 Batman by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo, and so far I haven't touched that comic book. And Nick said he was going to add a Marvel book to his pull, as well as, you know, he was very much looking forward to 4001 AD. So, Kate, I know I kind of already spoiled things, but how are you doing? What have you read so far out of your 52 trades?
Okay, so I didn't have a set number. That just sort of happened. And that counts, just to be clear. I'm counting things that I read in single issues, and some of those started back in like August and stuff, that as long as they finish this year, I'm counting it for an arc. You know, if the trade came out.
You're a cheater is what you're saying.
Well, I'm saying the numbers are always whatever you manipulate them to be, remember? And okay. So just so you know how I'm manipulating them. So like I'm counting the Vision volume one in there, which I clearly started last fall.
Okay. And the big thing about this was that you were getting them from the library, right?
Yeah, exactly. My big thing was being fiscally responsible this year, as in switching a lot of the stuff I'm reading over to the library and reading in trades that way, and hopefully reading more quote-unquote classic stuff, which then we got into a little mini debate about who deems what's classic and what counts and so on and so forth. And how important they actually are. But on that regard, I've pretty well flopped. I've only read one that counts as, I think most people would include as a classic, Batman The Long Halloween, which was really good, and I'm glad I read it. And good. I would like to read more stuff like that the rest of this year, especially go back and read Old Hellblazer. That was like the number one thing I was going to do, and then just haven't.
yeah.
So, eternally trying. The thing that kept getting in the way is I'd go to the library to get stuff, and then it'd be like, oh boy, even more Star Wars trades have come out. And so I read a ton of those. I think like 10 of the things on my thing are a bunch of the different Star Wars trades, which I've really, really enjoyed. And
Did you read Princess Leia by chance?
I might have read volume one. I definitely read the first issue.
Okay. Only the one volume because it was a miniseries. I was just curious if you read that.
I wasn't super into the first issue, and I don't remember if I've read the full volume, but the miniseries for Chewbacca I really liked with Nodo's art. But then like the main title has been my favorite, just the Star Wars title. And then Darth Vader has been my second fave. But then I read a bunch of stuff like I went back and read all of Ms. Marvel, what's the name of the creator that did that?
G. Willow Wilson?
That's the one. Yeah. Thank you. Read all of those and stuff like that. So I end up grabbing those newer things that I never picked up when they were out and then not getting the classic stuff. So, you know, it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have been better about getting stuff that way instead of... Because it's hard enough to trade weight. To trade library weight is even longer.
Oh, really?
So, well, yeah, because, I mean, I don't know. Maybe in New York City, they have, you know, fancy same-day stuff.
But I have no
library,
idea.
Even if you're, like, the first when it's first, like, announced that they're buying it and get on the list, it's still going to be quite a bit after when the trade comes out, like, several months usually before they actually get it and start circulating it. And a lot of times, because of where I'm at, I have to get it through interlibrary loan, which is even longer. And so, but I've been doing that. Digital has really helped with that because my library subscribes to Hoopla, the digital library loan app.
Yeah.
Which is how I've read like Lumberjanes and Gotham Academy and a bunch of stuff like that. That's more, they seem to have a lot more all ages stuff on there. But I also read a bunch of volumes of Archer and Armstrong that way. So that's been going pretty well. The best was definitely The Vision, Volume 1. I've talked enough about this that everyone knows I love it. Tom King's a god. The worst was one I actually read in prep for one of our episodes, the one when we talked about graphic novel adaptations, and it was the graphic novel adaptation of the poem Howl by Allen Ginsberg.
Yeah.
It was awful, and if you want to hear all about why it was so bad, you can go back to that episode, because I'm not going to go back into it, but it was actual garbage, so. Oh, the art is so bad, you guys, it hurts. It just destroys a classic work of poetry. It's butchery. How about you, Mike?
Oh, well, before we go into my absolute failure so far this year, I want to say that if you did really like Batman the Long Halloween, there's a couple more trades that happen in the Batman time span, I guess, that are written by Jeff Loeb and with art by Tim Sale, I believe.
Okay.
And they all take place kind of with the same-ish Batman, and they're all in the same, they have like all the same feeling. And if you look at the covers or you look at the spines, they all kind of have the same style. So they're all grouped together to say, this is Jeff Loeb's like really, really awesome runs on Batman. And I believe another one, there's like two or three or four, Nick. I maybe you know two. This. There's two more? Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. I have, because of having Nick in my life, I have a list of Batman titles that I'm supposed to check out.
Right.
I just haven't gotten to.
Yeah, it's Dark Victory and Haunted Night. I think it's Haunted Night.
Yeah.
Haunted Night is kind of weird, though, because it's like a whole bunch of, like, he did like special Halloween issues for Batman a couple years in a row, and it's the collection of those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's still kind of cool, whereas Dark Victory is actually a real sort of follow-up to Long Halloween, and it's probably one of the only Robin introduction stories that doesn't make me just roll my eyes and just want to just smash my head up against the wall repeatedly. Hi, I'm your friend forever now. Let's have this kid live with us in the mansion because his parents fell off the tightrope.
Yeah.
It's one of the only times I'm like, all right, I guess this is okay. I guess he can come stay with Bruce, whatever.
Nick, I feel like there's a lot of feelings that I don't want to necessarily unpack right now about that. So,
yeah.
Speaking of Batman, though, I still haven't read the new 52 Batman. As I said, I have signed up for my local library's like pick up a book from your local library down the street thing, because I have one like around the corner from me, like walking distance from my apartment, and all I have to do is finish the sign up and then I can go pick up volume one, and they have the entire run in their collection. Either I can pick it up here or I can go to another one or have it shipped to them, kind of the same thing that you have, Kate, but they're all available. I mean, there's like what, 10 or 12 volumes of this,
pretty much any main DC or Marvel title libraries tend to have, the big names.
I don't think it would be hard for me to start catching up. It's just a matter of me actually doing it. So maybe I will say, starting at the beginning of August, every week I'll just read a trade of Batman or something like that through the end of the year to try to just get all of the new 52
power
Batman
through.
Yeah, and say that I read it, and then I can finally understand all these things. Although I did read the arc Death of the Family, because I thought that was going to be really interesting, and I really liked it, and I liked what happened in it. But nonetheless, I should read all of it. Like, I need to read Court of Owls. I realize that's a very big thing.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, 1 and 2, at least. Those are so good.
Yeah. So I'm doing terribly. Otherwise, my resolution has changed. I started something earlier in the year where I wanted to read more independent, non-Big 2, non-Big 10 books. So I have been reading Comixology Submit books like weekly.
I was going to say, you've been doing that really well.
Yeah, if only to be able to say that I'm, giving things a chance, and I want to say that, I'm actually trying new stuff that isn't just already got a bunch of like thumbs up on it. So, I'm trying with that. I'm at least doing that, guys. So at least give me a little bit of credit. Why are you attacking me so much?
Seriously, calm down, guys. I was thinking that was your big one, that you wanted to read more independent like stuff like that. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think either I subconsciously held on to that or something, but I remember there was just 1 week before we did the show, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to just buy a Comixology submit book that I know nothing about. And I've been trying to do that every week. So usually I don't buy one every week, but usually I'll buy like three or four, and then I'll use, you know, I'll flesh those out and use them every week for a couple of weeks. And then I'll go in and I'll buy like number twos, or I'll buy other stuff. So far it's been pretty good. I think my favorite so far has been a book that I just started reading. I think there's two issues out, called Chunks, and it's about this weird Brit punk band that is in the United States, and they get up to shenanigans, and boy oh boy is it wacky. I really like it because it's no nonsense fun comic books that is a little bit out there. So that's been pretty good. But Nick, what about you? What were your resolutions, and how have you been doing with them?
Well, in the true fashion of a New Year's resolution, I made an overly hyperbolic statement and went back on it rather quickly. just kidding. That would actually make me feel better. I actually set the bar relatively low and still failed to attain it. So there you go. I said I was going to read a Marvel book. More specifically, I was going to put it on my pull. And I even went so far as to say, and guess what? I'm not going to take the cheap way out and make it a Star Wars book. It's going to be a true Marvel superhero punching, flying, mutant fun time. And I wasn't wrong in the sense that I did not go and cheapen the deal and go read a Star Wars book, because I went and read none of them. None of them.
But I think I did make a very strong case for Moon Knight. And did you buy that book?
I did read Moon Knight number one. Okay. I did like it. I think I might pick up the trade. Same thing goes for Vision. At least that's the line I will use until the trade comes out, at which point when that question gets asked, I'll just silently walk away.
Well, see, volume one of Vision's out.
Okay.
But it's only a 12-issue run, so I'm really, really hoping they come out with like an omnibus kind of thing of Tom King's Vision, like a hardcover to pretty and put on my shelf.
See,
oh my God, Marvel hardcover prices.
I was going to say, even
ready to
mortgage.
Even digital prices for their volumes are ridiculously high. I think it's like $18 for the Vision number one, and I'm like, technically, can't you save more money by buying the single issues on digital? It makes no sense to me. I'm like, I'm freaking out because I really want to read the Vision, but the price point is obnoxious.
Yep.
But nonetheless, Nick, I'm gonna say you should just buy those back issues of Moon Knight because you're paying $4 a week. $4 a month for your Valiant books. Marvel is no different. It's not even like a steep jump. It's the same level that you're normally used to. And it's
Greg
Smallwood's art. Like, this is a winning combination. The book is fantastic. And Jordy Belair on colors. Come on. Winning combo here, man.
I know, right? I know.
I read issue one. I really liked it.
It's beautiful.
You know, I have my fingers crossed that after what the Star Wars trade paperback pricing looked like, I haven't really looked into things much since I sort of looked into that, but if trade pricing has sort of gone the same route, it's something I would consider, but who knows? I mean, I remember when, like, I pulled Darth Vader off the shelf, and it was like, here's six issues for, like, $18, and I was like, what is going on? I need to go get my vision checked, so I immediately called up my optometrist, because I was way more worried that there was something wrong with my eyes than Marvel's pricing, if that continues, great. Otherwise, you're right. Probably would have to pick it up in digital when some sale rolls around the corner, because otherwise Marvel pricing is just ridiculous.
Well, for the Star Wars, those are all going to be at your library. Those have been popular enough that...
And I'm sure by the time our listeners listen to this, it probably won't still be true, but there's actually a sale on Comixology right now for Star Wars and Darth Vader and a couple of the other things, 99-cent issues, but only up to like 15 or something.
You have to hope for one of those buy one, get one free things that Marvel did. I think I bought
that, or Barnes & Noble does really good ones
trades. They did that thing on Comixology where it was like buy one, get one for every single Marvel title that was available, period.
Mm-hmm.
New or books that came out that week. So I think I bought all of the Superior Foes of Spider-Man and Hawkeye for like $35 or something. It was an insane amount of savings. So you just have to fingers crossed that will happen again. And you can get Vision. You can get Moon Knight. You can even jump into X-Men, Nick. Like, you can go fucking crazy.
Read all the Spider-Man books. Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, so other than your Marvel books, how have you been feeling about 4001 AD, which you predicted to be fantastic?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know what, give me the really going out on a limb award here, right? I mean, I predict a book that I know I'm going to buy will be good. Well, I mean, real guts, Nick. That shows some real heart there. Yeah, 4001 AD has been fantastic. Do I like it more than Book of Death? Good question. Yes, I think so. Again, with Valiant, I always like their events are just, you know what, here are four event books, here are four one-shots, and, gosh, what was the other thing? Oh, right, and here are four issues of Rye, and oh, I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I haven't read most of the Rye yet. I've read the first issue, which, holy cow, that was, like, really dark, like, with the very first Rye. And that was sort of interesting, because you actually see a father who's like, guess what, guys, like, and Christian, you know, metaphors here. I'm going to give you my only son. And like, this Rye is not here to hurt anyone. This Rye isn't here to be an enforcer. He's just a kid who wants to help out. And minor spoilers, you killed him. So, but yeah, just the quality control on that event is just insane. And the one shots have been interesting. They've always used those one shots as an opportunity to tell some really crazy, really outlandish stories. Sometimes some of which actually end up, you know, being like continuity that actually gets referenced later. So I've really enjoyed that a bunch. I would really encourage anybody to get on board with that. I do not know if I would say 4001 AD is a all caps, perfect jumping on point.
No.
As they like to throw in front of anything. I would not say that at all for this book.
I think 4001 AD has been, you know, as someone who only kind of has touched a little bit of Valiant, you know, I've read Rye since number one. I read a little bit of Archer and Armstrong. I've read a little bit of Bloodshot and Harbinger. But ultimately, I feel like I'm jumping into this pretty fresh. I have a strong tie with the Rye storyline because 4001 AD is a direct result of what was happening in Rye. But other than that, like reading the one shots, I kind of was a little lost. But it's enough. There's enough good story and enough interesting things happening, and they do the recaps so well that it's enough to spark my interest in all of these other books, but I can still keep up with the 4001 AD story. Like, if you were going to read 4001 AD, I would say just read Rye, which is two trades leading up to
three
trades. Okay, so three trades leading up to 4001 AD, and then you've got the whole story. That's all that you need for that. Like, because this really is just a story about Rye that the rest of the universe just happens to be involved in, like, extra. Like those little one shots, you said this before on the show, but the one shots are kind of just nice extra morsels if you need a second dessert for this as far as I'm gonna that's what I'm gonna call it, at least.
And it's a good place for people who tend to have a different favorite character to sort of actually be sated with things. You know, if you're a Bloodshot fan, there's something here for you. If you're a Shadow Man fan and you've been wondering what the hell's been going on for the past 2 years, you know, there's something for you as well. And I think probably what was most hilarious was that I was making predictions during that episode 52 podcast where I was like, I bet you Eternal Warrior is going to be in this book. Little did I know that at that point, like, Eternal Warrior was already in the third arc of Rye. Like, he had already shown up, but I wasn't caught up. And so you knew that, but I had no idea.
So with all that being said, how do you guys see yourselves trying to improve upon your resolutions? I think, you know, some of us have a little bit more obvious thing, but is there more that you want to add to your resolution for this year, given that we're halfway through? And are there more things in comics that you want to do, or you've been slacking on, or something like that, that you could probably try to round up for the year to try to build better comic reading habits or something like that?
Yeah, Well, so I'm pretty happy with how I've been doing with the financial stuff and getting stuff from the library. I guess I've definitely found myself hitting pretty heavy, like, reading ruts where I'm reading the same types of things and not really branching out. And so that's where I'm pretty excited about our new Goodreads group for I Read Comic Books.
Oh, yeah.
And we're doing our monthly reads where we all as a group vote on a title. And then that's our monthly group read and we read it and talk about it. And I think that's going to really help branch out into some stuff that I normally wouldn't pick up. I know right now the poll, it doesn't close until midnight tonight, but it looks like the front runner for this month's book is volume one of Lock and Key, which is something I definitely would never have picked on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty excited about that and to see if I can find some new creative teams that I like and new maybe new genres.
Yeah, that's, and for anyone who's interested, if you haven't seen us post about it on Twitter and things like that, look in the show notes. There will be a link to our Goodreads group. Anyone can join it. Anyone can jump in and on the conversations, and we can, you know, just talk about comic books as, you know, fans of comic books. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that as well. I think, like, I've read Lock and Key, but I think moving forward, there's going to be a lot of really good stuff recommended, and I look forward to just reading other things that other people like other than myself, you know?
Yeah, well, and even just talking about stuff, even if you've read it, I feel like then I notice, like, when you're discussing it with stuff, there's stuff I don't notice that, or I read in a different way, and then that kind of comes out when you start talking about it with people, and it just becomes a different experience when you do a group read like that versus reading stuff independently. Like, I've obviously had a ton of time to just sit and read this year so far with being sick and everything. So just plowing through stuff on your own, it gets to almost be like speed reading. Like, you're just getting, you know, plowing through stories, which is fun and enjoyable and everything, but it's a much different thing than if you're like sitting and really examining and talking about and seeing what other people felt and stuff like that. So even if it's something that I would already see, I think that'll be a good branch for this next half of the year to try and fill out.
Yeah. I think for me, my biggest thing is, yes, I need to read New 52 Batman, but also I think what I want to do is I need to cull my pull list a little bit more. I've been kind of just jumping on things left and right, and I've come to find that I put off a lot of books because I'm not as excited about them as I was maybe two or three issues ago. And I think in those cases, what I should do is I should just drop those books. I should read the issues that I have and drop them, because if I'm not excited about the book, then what's the point? You know,
that's where I got to.
So
where if you have three or four back issues piled up and you're like, tomorrow maybe.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
It's one thing like to say, oh, I really want to read this, but I don't have the time to read it.
Right.
But it's another thing to say, oh, there's two issues of Snowfall, because this was me. There's two issues of Snowfall, and I was like, oh, I don't even know if I know what's going on in this book. Do I want to even keep reading it?
Getting weirder.
And it's getting weird. Yeah. So I should just drop it from my pull list, unfortunately. Yep. I really like the concept, but I think I have to be done with it. And that's just one book. There's a handful of others that I have like that too. So my next big thing is probably going to be, you know, finding a number of books that I want to say that I can read a month, like that are on my regular pull list and sticking to that number. So if I want to add something new, I need to drop something or maybe a dollar amount or something like that. So
yeah, because I had a set number, and then with the DC Rebirth stuff had to redo everything because with double shipping it messed up my price thing, so I was going to the shop and spending way more than I wanted to, even though it was the same number of books. So yeah. I don't know, it's
and I've also found rough. That I need to switch more books. Like, I have some books that are physical, but I need to switch more books back to or over to digital, simply because I'm running out of space.
Yeah.
And because I put off reading digital books until I've got a good time to do it. Like, when I used to live in Michigan, I feel like there was more space, there was more room for me to kind of just sit around and read comics. But here, you know, I don't have as much room, and it's a little bit more complicated to store them. That's pretty much what it comes down to. I need to trim and stop buying all these really cool variant covers just because I think they're really cool. What about you, Nick?
Well, I totally agree with you on the idea of culling one's pull. And I don't know if I have a big cull that's imminent, but there's sort of, you know, something on the horizon, because Valiant has a whole new batch of new titles coming out in the next couple months, so there's that on the horizon. There's sort of me needing to evaluate Rebirth, and of course that means like not putting off reading, which unfortunately I've already fallen behind on. I need to really stay on top of this event, figure out what's working, figure out what's not working, and, you know, respond accordingly, because there aren't many feelings that are as frustrating when it comes to comics as just, like, realizing that you've given a book, like, a big free pass, like, a huge freaking, like, free pass, and you're just sitting down to read, like, four issues of it, and you're like, wow. Unless you're Jordan, in which case he set a new record, and he had been pulling Darth Vader all the way up to, what, like, 22, despite only having read the first four issues.
Oh my,
goodness. That is a year and a half.
Lucky after for him, that book's awesome, but...
Yeah, well, you know, I think after he had me make fun of him for, like, sitting on 13 issues of Justice League Unlimited and then going, wow, this is shit, he's like, I'm gonna show Nick. So he went and, like, sat on, like, 18 issues of Darth Vader. So, yeah.
What point is he trying to prove with that? I just...
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, this habit of his transcends, like, into other things, too. Like, if you sit down and eat with him, he'll, like, eat all of his fries first, and then he'll eat his burger. And then, like, so he consumes things in chunks. I noticed this. And I told him, like, why don't you, like, switch to trades? And he just, like, shrugged. So that was the end of that. That was the end of that discussion.
Okay.
But, yeah, so sort of there's sort of a reminder that I need to really be keeping an eye and possibly culling, because with those new Valiant books on the horizon and with the whole Rebirth, needing to kind of evaluate and figure out what's going on there. Because right now, you know, I've got two issues of Batman a month. I've got two issues of Green Arrow a month. I think the new Hellblazer book is going to be once a month. And I think All-Star Batman is going to be once a month as well. But that's still an awful lot of books nonetheless.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. And I guess just generally speaking, I want to, and I think we talk about the value of this all the time on this podcast, but I always want to try to diversify. And that doesn't mean, like, oh, I don't like Valiant anymore. Oh, I don't like DC anymore. But, like, for example, for a while there, like, every new Valiant book, I was like, all right, let's start this book. But the newest one was, like, Generation Zero. And I was like, let's just wait and see. So I sort of, you know, pumped the brakes on that one. And just diversifying in general for me is sort of a goal. Like, I've had a great time ever since I really started paying attention to Dark Horse again.
Mm-hmm.
Really. I mean, for a while there, I was like, got it, Dark Horse. You've got Star Wars. You've got Hellboy. You've got a couple books that are just generically meant to be scary books. Great. Whatever. That's, you know, bye, Felicia. and I don't even know if I used that right.
Yeah,
who knows?
It's sure.
I haven't even seen that movie.
Not really, but all right.
But now, like, yeah, I know I've said this before, but, like, if you haven't been checking out Dark Horse, and I do get paid by them to say this.
He does not.
If you haven't been checking out Dark Horse, like, ever since they lost Star Wars and Mike Mignola, I think his literal words were, I want to just go paint stuff. I'm leaving Hellboy. Bye. I mean, I think that's what it was. Dark Horse has been like, well, shit, like, we need to actually find other ways to make money. And they have developed some fantastic, fantastic series. Some original content, some has just been a very careful utilization of the franchises they have. And I think they're really turning things around. So for me, just sort of just a mindfulness to, you know, keep things, you know, diversified and with different publishers.
Do you mean diverse genres or just publishers and creators?
You know, I think the fact that it happens to be different publishers is just sort of a coincidence of, or the byproduct of the fact that certain publishers tend to go hand in hand with certain genres to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, yeah, I definitely follow you. But in terms of Dark Horse, for me, it was more of a slow realization that they were actually doing original content. And it was sort of like, well, wow, like I thought that was quote unquote, you know, more of an image thing,
right,
or more of a boom thing. And now I realize, like, Dark Horse has actually got, you know, Harrow County and that new book May.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, a whole bunch of other titles that are just and Black Hammer. Black Hammer is another Dark Horse original comic.
They love their watercolors, man. They're just like, hey, you do watercolor art? Let's do that.
We'll sign you up. So, and in terms of, you know, starting a Marvel book, who knows? I think I'm probably going to see how these trade prices go, and then you're right, Mike. It will probably end up being some sort of a sale at some point.
Yeah. You got to put something on your poll. You got to do it for like six issues. You gotta find a number one. Marvel is at that point in the year where they're bound to just restart all these books, and you could pick any of them up and have no idea what's going on, just as if you picked them up in the middle of the ongoing series. So, you know, lose-lose. No matter what you do, Nyx, do it. Come on.
They do have a million number ones coming out soon.
Yeah.
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 I think there's like a glitch in Marvel's computers that doesn't allow them to have that extra digit space for like a number 10 issue. Yeah. So like they're just physically incapable. Like their program just doesn't work beyond that point. So
it's, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Don't even get me started on that. Like it's one of those things that where I imagine like years from now and someone's like, oh man, I really want to get into like Hawkeye or I really want to get into like,
good luck,
like Squirrel Girl. And it's like, well, okay.
Endless renumbering.
Yeah. It's like, you need to read like 1 through 4 of this and then like 1 through 6 of this. Oh,
no,
well,
see,
what's that second title called? Oh, it's called the same name. The book is the same title.
With
but
the
it
same title, same number, well, and sometimes even yeah. the same year.
Hold on,
and
hold
then
on.
It gets crazier because then it'll be sometimes the volumes, though, will be sequential. So 1 through 6 is volume 1, and then 1 through 6 is volume 2.
Yes.
And like,
I was going to say, if you're going to be reading something in the future from the, you know, from 4 or 5 years ago, there's this thing, I read this thing on Reddit, someone was like, well, they're numbering the volumes sequentially, regardless. Like, they're publishing them in a way that you can read the story from the beginning of the story, the actual beginning of the story, to the most recent, you know, volume 1 through 6, even though they collect 4 or 5 different number ones. I mean, yeah. I don't think a lot of people, when they're going to their comic shop and looking at trades, are actually looking at the single issues when it comes to Marvel and DC, normally.
That's
they're,
true.
They're probably
yeah.
saying, what Although, volume is this? What am I going to read? How can it make sure to keep in order? And it's just volume 1 to volume 2 and so on and so forth.
This past yesterday, I found a title I've been looking for almost a year now, and because it was Hawkeye number 3, but not this run's number 3, the one immediately before it, but because it's the same year and the same number and the same title, it's been really confusing trying to find it anywhere. And once I figure out, like, it's come to the point where I have saved a photo of the cover on my phone so that I could just show shops. I'm like, this is the one I want. And then they'd look it up and they'd be like, this one, nope, that's the wrong run. Okay. And I finally actually found it in Grand Rapids when Nick and I were hunting through stuff. So that was really exciting.
That's yeah. See, we're in a weird predicament. Marvel has got to fix this. I think they're going to probably in the next year. I don't know. After Civil War II, I'm sure we'll get a whole batch of number ones and yada
oh,
yada.
Oh, yeah. The previews are already out for it. There's billions of them.
Great.
So, I mean, you could get Avengers number 1. You could get Avengers number 1.1.
That's 2 ones. That means it's doubly new.
Yep. No, there's a ton of... Well, a ton of reboots and then some new ones, but like they're doing a Jessica Jones number 1 and they're doing a Gamora number 1 and Hawkeye, of course, is getting another number 1
yeah.
and so on and so forth. So,
well, you know, that's Marvel. I mean, I think we're going to have this. We have this dilemma. This has been going on for like 2 years.
Yeah, we can complain all we want. This is clearly working for them. So.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this in the pre-show before we, you know, started recording things. You know, number ones always sell. They always
yep.
sell number 1, and the drop-off is usually insane. But you can tell if a book is actually doing its job if the number 2 sales are actually close to the number 1 by even like a 50%, you know, decrease. If you see no more than 50% decrease from number 1 to number 2, that book might be actually pretty good, which is a really, really weird way to analyze
yeah.
these things. But that's unfortunately what it's come to, because you're going to see a slew
a
of positive
drop-off.
Reviews. You're going to see, yeah, regardless, you're going to see a huge drop off as people go, oh, this isn't the book that I wanted. But, you know, number 1s are always going to get raving reviews. They're going to go, this is a great jumping on point. And most people are going to say no, especially when it comes to Marvel. So it is what it is. I don't know.
I don't know. I can't be the only one who does this, too. It's not even like this isn't the book I wanted. Sometimes I see a number 1 in the shop. I'm like, that looks cool. Pick it up. And then forget in the intervening month to add it to my pull if I liked it. And then forget to get number 2 or 3 or whatever. And then I'm like, well, I'm behind now. I'll get it in trade.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
I think that's also probably pretty common too, but
yeah, yeah, oh yeah, there. I mean, I, I'm embarrassed to say there are quite a few books that I just, you know what, if they're there, they're there, and I pick them up, and a lot of months I get really lucky, and it's the last copy, and I really should just put it on my pull, but I don't. I mean, I read Omega Men completely, the whole thing, not pulling it.
Nick, that's insane.
Sometimes I got the last
issue.
That's
insane.
Yeah, I just, you know, and it was just, you know, the superficial idea that in principle... you know, guess what, guys? I'm not pulling this book. You know, my pull count is low. I don't pull this book. I buy it every month, but, you know, I don't pull this book. Same thing with Harrow County. Buy it every month. Is it on my pull?
This is how we get around the dilemma of having a pull list that's too big.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't count if it's not on there, even if I buy it every month.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the I Read Comic Books podcast. Our host and producer is Mike Rabin, and the show is edited by Xander Riggs. Special thanks this week to Kate Scotchless and Nick White. The music in this episode is brought to you by Brock Berrigan and Infinity Shred. You can find more of Brock Berrigan at brockberrigan.bandcamp.com, and you can find more of Infinity Shred at infinityshred.com. Remember, if you enjoy this show, tell someone about it. Rate us online, or write to us. You can tell us whether you've kept up with your comic book resolutions for the year by emailing us at ircb@destroythesybe.org. You can find the entire podcast team on Twitter, and you can follow the show at ircbpodcast. Don't forget, you can still join and spark conversations over on our subreddit, at ireadcomicbooks.reddit.com. And until next time, from all of us here at the podcast, thanks for listening.